death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. And that can't be more true, especially in a very specific type of mentoring relationship. I'm sure many of you have been in a situation where you were able to speak a word of encouragement or a word of exhortation to somebody to get them to just kind of shift and change a little bit. And you saw that maybe even the ramifications of that are continuing today, just that one time years ago. Or maybe somebody spoke a word to you that at the right time, in the right way, was exactly what you needed, and the rest of your day, the rest of your week, maybe even the rest of your life changed for the better. But an interesting way to illustrate this is that it's not just the words that we speak out that are as important. Sometimes it's the words that we take in. Sometimes it's the words we either say to ourselves or the words that we let other people speak into us. And to illustrate this, I actually want to share with you this little social experiment that Dove, the company that makes soap and lotions and things like that, actually did this a few years ago. And it talks about how we describe ourselves versus the way people describe us. I actually have a video I would like to watch together.
I showed up to a place I'd never been, and there was a guy with a drafting board. I didn't know what he was doing, but then I could tell after several questions that he was drawing me.
Your jaw?
My mom told me I had a big jaw.
Once I get a sketch, I say thank you very much, and then they leave. I don't see them.
All I had been told before the sketch was to get friendly with this other woman, Chloe.
She was thin, so you could see her cheekbones. And her chin, it was a nice, thin chin.
Well, here we are. This is the sketch that you helped me create. And that's a sketch that somebody described of you.
So yeah, that's...
So, it kind of goes a little bit quick, because there's a lot of... The way that the video originally did, they had a lot of like music and stuff in there. But it's amazing to see just that difference that happens between how she described herself versus how somebody else described her. And I love this video because it hints at something that God has been trying to teach us for thousands of years, and that it's really that our words have incredible power. What you see in this is that she was carrying with her something that her mother had said probably many, many years ago, and it affected how she saw herself and how she described herself to other people. But then when she sits down with somebody that she had never met before and had a conversation just right before walking in there, and this woman didn't have any other like history or anything, she just got a chance to talk to her, she goes up and tells the sketch artist how this person looks. And what's interesting is that not only, if you look at those two drawings, not only is one drawing more accurate than the other, but one is far more positive than the other. I don't know if you could tell, like, The forensic artist that drew this, like, he took into account like everything that the person was saying and would sketch them to a very, very good detail. I mean, it's not like he had less to go on, he wasn't able to see the person or anything like that. It was all based on how they were described, whether they described themselves or described by somebody else. And this shows us exactly what God says in his word, that words can bring life or they can bring death. They can have incredible good or they can have harm. And now while this experiment didn't necessarily deal with life and death that seriously, it did show that when it comes to us, the words we speak and the words that we take in can speak incredibly loud. Now the internal dialogue is really important here because sometimes that's the first and last words we hear each day. Those are the first words that we speak to ourselves. Those are the last words oftentimes we hear. And if you're anything like me, I think I sympathize a lot with the woman in this. I think even this morning as I was looking at like my shirt and I was looking at like the way I looked this morning, I'm like, okay, do I look okay? Is this all right? And I'm like adjusting everything really well. I'm focusing on like the one thing that's a little different. It's like, you know, as I was holding my daughter this morning, I was thinking, okay, did she get some crumbs on me? Like, what's happening? You know, checking the mirror constantly, going back and forth. And it's funny because like I noticed that how I was kind of looking was setting the tone. I was starting to look very critically. I was starting to think very, even hypercritically, and saying like, oh, like this needs to be changed, or this needs to be different, or I need to change this, or I need to do this. And at the end of, you know, even this morning, I realized like that critical nature was kind of starting to set the tone for my day. And I really didn't want that to continue. It's just funny how that works. And a question to ask ourselves is, when you look in the mirror, what comes to mind? How do you speak about yourself, and how do you speak about others? How is that connected? Or in many ways, how is it different? Now, in the series, Relationships That Last, Pastor Cheryl a couple of weeks ago spoke about the importance of listening to one another and conversing with one another. And Pastor Van last week set us up with this amazing idea that God needs to be at the center of our relationships. And now I have the joy of figuring out what that looks like when it comes to really, what do we say? And what do we take in? The words we use with others and the words we use with ourselves. Now, many of us have been brought up to believe that words maybe have no power. Many of you have been taught that sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can never hurt you, right? But it's interesting because in Scripture, what we see is something very different. We see that words have incredible power. We see that words are able to build up. We see that words are able to tear down. Even more than that, we actually see that this world was designed to run on words. When everything came into being, it was because of God's word. The law was given to us through God's word. The promise of a Messiah came through words. Even Jesus himself is described as God's incarnate word, the word made flesh. Now, if you need any more convincing about the power of words, I'm going to continue using a bunch of them for the rest of the morning to tell you about how powerful words can be. Now, as we wrap up this series, I really am excited to dive into this because there's a lot of personal responsibility in how we use our words and how we let certain things affect us. But even greater than that, there's this immense power in what happens when we use words the way God intended them to be used. When we speak the way God designed us to speak, when we listen and we take in what God designed us to take in, it's amazing to see what God's intent is there. Now, to expand on this a little bit further, we're going to turn to James chapter 3. And he goes into this great explanation on just the power of words. We're going to start in verse 7 and go through verse 12. It says this: "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the image of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing." My brothers and sisters, these things ought not to be so. And he continues on. He says, "Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." Now, I love James because he uses a ton of different analogies. He's probably trying to hit every single person in his audience and say, like, okay, if you understand water, then you're going to get this. But if you don't live near water, you probably have seen trees and they grow things. So if a fig tree is called a fig tree, it's called that because it makes figs. So if it doesn't make figs, then it's either a different tree or, here you go, here's another example. Or if you think of, you know, a grapevine, many of us are familiar with how that works. But if they produce figs, then that's kind of weird. It doesn't make sense. He said it's all the same when it comes to the power of our words. Now, I know many of us are probably familiar with somebody who's really careless with their words. Maybe we've experienced the effect of somebody who just throws words out like they're nothing, and maybe unaware of the effect that they have. Maybe we're aware of those who can walk into a room and throw a grenade of words and then walk away and have no idea of all the shrapnel that comes out. Or maybe we also know people who are incredibly good with their words. They understand how they are powerful or how they work, and they use them to do incredible things. But I wonder sometimes how many of us, again, if you're anything like me, I hate how often I have to apologize for the things I say. I hate how often I get foot and mouth syndrome, where like you say something and you can't get it back. It goes out there and you're like, and it's gone. It's out there. It's already in the ear. There's nothing. There's nothing you can do to get it back. And our minds probably go to that other person who needs to hear this. Maybe you're nudging somebody next to you, but this is one of those things that is important for all of us to think about. It isn't just important for that other person who's really careless or that other person that we know who really needs to hear this, but James is saying that it isn't just necessarily the words we use. He's saying that they all come from some kind of source. He said that the words that we use, yes, we can try to gloss over it or we can try to, you know, put a happy face on different things, but ultimately I can tell when I'm speaking to somebody if the words that they have come out of a genuine place, or if they have kind of that tinge to them. Or if there's that slight, like, sting, even in a compliment, like, you can tell where the source is coming from. And it's the exact same thing that James is talking about here. He says, if a spring of water tastes clean one day and the next day it's full of salt, you have to ask why. What's going on? Did that spring change its source? Or did something affect it? What happened? Because this is clearly not different. This never just happens. It never goes from being fresh to being salt. And it's the exact same with us. When the words that come out of our mouth are sweet and nourishing to a person, then we know that they must come from a sweet and nourishing source. But if, again, they come, if they speak bitterness and poison to other people, then we start to question, what source are they coming from? Is there a bitterness? Is there a poison inside? Is there a toxic thing that's happening inside a person that's causing these words? And you know, in the mental health world, one of the easiest ways to tell if somebody's going through a really difficult situation, or if somebody's struggling with depression or whatever that looks like, one of the easiest ways to tell is the words they choose. And you sit and you talk to somebody, because if they're normally super happy and they're like excited about everything, and then the next day you're like, okay, I'm hearing a lot of difficult words, I'm hearing a lot of sadness, I'm hearing a lot of like things, and not just like the typical, I'm happy, I'm sad, like that underlying sense of, you can feel it, the bitterness in people's words. It honestly is one of the quickest and easiest ways to tell what's going on with somebody. And this is what's so important, is when you hear about that these words come from a source, a lot of the time you can't just take what a person says at face value. And I don't mean this to like question everything, but I'm saying this, if you're talking to somebody and you ask them how they're doing and they say to you, fine, they're not fine. If you're sitting there and you're talking to somebody and you're asking them, hey, how are you doing? And they're like, oh, I had a great day, things are going well. Like, I was able to do this, and I was able to do this, and you can see that excitement bubbling out of them, then you're like, great, I believe you. I can see it's coming from a good source. And if they're like, oh, man, today was just terrible, it was horrible, I had a really, really frustrating day, then obviously you know it comes from something else. But it's interesting how quickly Scripture is fulfilled, in the sense that it says that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's inside us is what comes out. And now, while James talks about the difference between blessing and cursing people externally, we bless the Lord and Father, we bless our Lord and Father, and we curse other people, I think it's interesting to apply this also, again, to that internal conversation. Because a very often neglected person made in the image of God who needs to hear words of blessing is us. And there are many times when we're very good at encouraging other people, we're very good at telling other people how they can do better and what we see in them, but a lot of the time we're not near as good at telling that to us. And maybe we're not as good at hearing it from other people either. And what James is saying here is when we bless God, when we bless God and we curse others, a lot of the time we bless God, we bless others, and we curse ourselves. In the Bible, when it says to love other people the way that we love ourselves, it assumes that you love yourself well. And it assumes that you're going to give words of encouragement to yourself as well. You're not immune from this. You too are a person made in the image of God who needs words of blessing. The video that we saw showed us how many times we don't see ourselves clearly in what even should be obvious to us, our physical features. We have mirrors. We should have a pretty good idea of what we look like. And it makes me wonder, a lot of the time, if we're not seeing ourselves clearly, physically, then it makes me wonder if we're not seeing ourselves clearly in the things that aren't seen. If we're honest with ourselves, or if we're listening to what other people are seeing with us. How much more important is it for us to see the intangible things? To not just be so on the surface, but to say, what is my heart like? What is my attitude like? How would I be described by other people, how I'm being a friend, how I'm being a business person, how I'm working well? So as easy as this is to make this a very external thing, how do you speak to other people? I don't want us to lose that aspect of what it looks like for us to speak inside and to let others to speak to us. Again, as Proverbs 18:21 says, that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. And I like this idea to love the tongue. It's this idea like it's not necessarily to have this affection for our mouth. It's this idea to care for your words, to care for the language that you speak, to care for language in general, how others speak to us, to take this understanding and not just have it be what I say out, but this whole idea of language and conversation. The words that we send out to this world and the worlds that we bring into our lives affect us greatly. Like we said, the world was created to run on words. To dive in a little bit more into this, when God spoke, he spoke creation into being. It doesn't say that the only time he ever worked with his hands is when he created humans. It was a much more intimate kind of connection, but even that was spoken through his breath, and it was spoken through word. Everything we have in our Bible was given to us by God's word, written down through humans so that we would be able to read it and enjoy it. Now, everything we know about God was given to us through word. I think it's interesting, some of the stories in Scripture, how God even interacts with humanity to show us this. During the days of Babel, when humans were building this temple to show our own greatness and to show God how great we were so that we would, build ourselves up and maybe even touch the heavens. I find it so interesting in the story that God comes down as if our tower wasn't even close to him. He comes down and he does what? Scatters our words. He knew that in unity we were becoming arrogant. We were getting ourselves set up to where we were trying to become God. We were trying to be our own maker. We were trying to be our own God. And the easiest way for him to frustrate that wasn't through just destroying the tower or through anything like this. He just made it so we couldn't communicate. He made it so we couldn't talk to one another. And that was very effective. Enough so that it's a story that's not just known to us as Christians, but it's a story that many people understand of just when they talk about to Babylon or they talk about, it's a babbling situation. It's worked itself into our culture because it's such an interesting story. Keep in mind, too, that God chose first and foremost to give us his law through words. But I love this, that when Jesus is described, he isn't just God incarnate. He isn't just the Savior. He isn't that. He is God's word. It says that Jesus is the culmination of every prophet. He is the fulfillment of every prophecy. All of it was speaking about him, and when he shows up, he not only speaks in the truth of what God has set up before, but he speaks new truth, and he gives us this understanding of how to understand the Old Testament, how to understand what's happening and who the Messiah is, who God is. And he isn't just giving us that because he's an eloquent speaker. He's giving us that because he himself is the Word of God. He is the truth, and it's amazing how often God communicates with us by sending us these pure, truthful words designed to build us up and remind us of who he is and how much he loves us. Why does he do that? I mean, first of all, it's because it's his character. He's truth. God doesn't speak falsely. But I think even more so, it's because he knows that there's a lot of other messages getting thrown at us. He knows that we live in a world of communication. We live in a world of words. And if we're not listening to him, we're going to be listening to something else. And I'll be honest, especially in the lives of students, these other messages are loud. These other messages are constant. We have a device in our pockets that sends them to us on a regular basis. And if we don't check it enough, it buzzes us. It like pokes us in the leg to tell us to look at the messages that are coming toward us. And it's amazing to me how God has given us so many of his words, and he speaks to us constantly, and yet it's so easy to be distracted. It's so easy to let other things come in. It's amazing that the words, not just spoken as Christians, not just spoken, in love, but just the words that we get on a regular basis, thousands and thousands of messages that have to come from one source or another. And it's amazing because this verse, this whole idea in Scripture is so true today because there's a lot of words of life out there. There's a lot of really good words, encouraging words, things that encourage us to do amazing things. There's knowledge available to us that has never been available to, a certain individual before. But yet, there's also this understanding that there's a lot of messages out there that are designed to destroy us, that are designed to entice us away, to confuse us, to make us feel like we're not as good as we could be, or to make us feel like we need things in our life that are better or will make us feel right. whether externally or internally, there's thousands of messages that come in. But now that we understand how many messages and kind of this understanding of how God and how the world use language, I want to dive in a little bit more practically to say, what do we do with all this? Because this can very easily just become like, okay, don't curse people and you'll be fine. Don't speak angrily, you'll be fine. Maybe speak to yourself a little nicer. Great. I don't want this to just end in platitudes. I want you to see what God does through the power of words. Words transform us. Words set us on trajectory. It's not just that they're good for the day or they're good for building somebody up in that moment. I mean, the words that we choose to use can have eternal consequences. This isn't just a behavioral change, because as James says, no human being can tame the tongue. He isn't just saying it's difficult. He's not just saying that it needs a lot of work. He's saying no human being can do it. And that's why, my friends, this word doesn't just come out of some self-help book. It comes out of God's word. We need him to change us. Without that change that comes from God himself, all of what we've been talking about in the series on relationships would be nearly impossible. To relate to one another well would be almost impossible. So when we jump into this, I want you guys to have some clear, tangible things to do with your words this week. So the first thing is I want you to remember that the world is designed on words. They will always have power, whether for life or for death. Some of us can be careless with our words, like we said before, and sometimes it's this carelessness or this understanding of words can be that gate that changes the whole course of our day. For you who may need a little bit of an example or maybe an illustration here, imagine this. It's the middle of the night. You have a sleeping baby, sleeping spouse, and you're getting up and you need to use the restroom. And as you walk through your house, your little toe finds the hardest surface in your house. Most likely a coffee table that has metal legs. I'm still unsure why they did that. I think simply so that I would have these stories. I mean, so that I would have a hypothetical illustration that in no way happened to me recently. Walking along, you smack your toe into something, and now you're at a crossroads. Two trajectories lie in front of you, and most likely you're not going to take the one you should. It's this idea that, like, your words in that instance are going to determine the rest of your day. The words that you choose, are you going to be calm? Are you going to be quiet? Are you going to make sure that nobody else in your house wakes up? Are you going to use self-control that really must be supernatural? Or are you going to go the other way? Are you going to use words that definitely are going to lead to destruction, especially if you wake up that spouse or that baby? And set the course for the rest of your day, because I'm guessing you're probably not going to get back to sleep after that. It's funny because that is such a clear example, but yet there are going to be times throughout your day that you're going to be at different crossroads. A person comes up to you and is angry and upset with you. They're going to be speaking very harsh tones and very angry words, and you also are at a crossroads in that situation. You can choose whether or not to respond in gentleness and self-control, or you can choose to exacerbate the situation by getting angry as well, and this is hard. But my friends, the way that you understand that trajectory, the path that you choose in that with God's divine help, again, because conflict is hard. And it's hard not to respond with anger to somebody who's angry. But when you get an opportunity to show calm and to show self-control to somebody as they are yelling and so upset with you, it's amazing. Not only is it going to change the trajectory of your day, but it might actually change their whole trajectory. I worked retail for a long time, and it happened so often. When I was able to keep my cool to a customer who, like a customer who had an issue or was just upset about something, it was amazing how better the situation was. I don't know if any of, I can definitely tell you, none of the situations that I got into where I lost my cool ended well. Most of the time, a manager had to come in, and the reason they're managers is because they're better at doing that than I was as a teenager, and they were able to diffuse the situation. But just think about that as we go through our day. If you keep this in the back of your mind, the power that your words have, not just to fuel a situation, but to diffuse a situation, it'll be amazing to see what happens the next time you are engaged in conflict. Like I said before, it is a horrible feeling to say something in anger and then not be able to get it back. To know how your words just affected somebody, to say something harsh in the middle of a conflict, and to see their face change in that moment, and then know that you are not going to be able to take that back again. But on the other side, the power of our words have the ability to do incredible good. The right word spoken at the right time can change not the trajectory of your day, but it can change a person's entire eternity. Remember the reaction of the lady in that video? A person she just met described her more accurately and positively than she described herself, and you can see the change on her face. You can see how she looked at how she described herself, and then she looked at how this other woman who had never met her before described her, and the realization on her face was amazing to me, this encouragement, this understanding that not just did she maybe not see herself clearly, but the way she came across to somebody in just a few minutes was positive, and it was amazing. This is why I am so amped up about this opportunity to mentor in the schools, because I've seen this. I've seen it work where words spoken at the right time in the life of a student put them on a completely different trajectory. I mean, many of us have had people who have shown mentoring capabilities or have given us those words in our lives, and it helps. It is amazing to see what happens when we're able to do that, when we can speak life into somebody. And not even that. I think what's an amazing part of this is that we have opportunities to not just speak into students that we mentor, but we have opportunities to speak into just everybody on our course of life. I mean, we're creatures of habit. My guess is that you probably know the first name of your Starbucks barista if you go there all the time. Or if you're not a Starbucks fan, you're barista at Dunkin' or you're barista at Felicia's. Like, wherever coffee place you go, you're the person that you interact with, I'm guaranteeing that you see them on a pretty regular basis. I see mine on a very regular basis. And you have opportunity to talk to that person. They see you regularly, you see them regularly. And so often we're just so focused in on what we want to do that day that we forget that there's a living, breathing human being right in front of us who, yes, they are very good at making coffee and we don't want to take up their whole day, but just that quick, how are you doing today? That's a cool tattoo. That looks new. Or I noticed your hair's a lot shorter. I mean, whatever it is, just notice things about people and encourage one another. It's amazing what happens in those kind of daily interactions and then the opportunity that you have to speak into them. I mean, we are word people. As Christians, we are saturated by the word of God. We are the ones that God has entrusted to proclaim his good news to the world. And I've heard it said, and I love this quote, that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And when it comes to the power of our words, that's exactly what happens. And we have opportunity, even with complete strangers or those people we just see on a regular basis, to speak words of life into them. I think you'd be amazed what would happen if you do that enough, or even if you just do it that one time, somebody's like, wow, you sound different. A lot of other people don't come in here and actually care about who I am or how my day is going. Why is that? Now you can start this incredible conversation with people that has eternal implications. And yet when it comes to that internal dialogue, the second way that we can do this is to recognize that our self-talk sets up the filter for what we hear from other people. If you're not speaking words of life to yourself, it's going to be very hard for you to listen to words of life from other people. It's just true. And it's because it's like anything else. We're sitting here saturated in one thing, and then all of a sudden a couple of little pieces of positive things come in, or some of us maybe see ourselves a little bit better than we ought to, and then when somebody gives us a critique or they give us a gentle nudge in the right direction, it attacks us personally. And it's this idea that what you say to yourself sets it up, and it's exactly what James says. If you're speaking to yourself words of bitterness and words of poison, and then you go out and you try to speak to other people the living water of Christ, there's going to be this disconnect. It's very difficult. And in the same way, if you're speaking words of life and an encouragement to yourself, and then you go around and you speak bitterness and poison to other people, it's going to set this up to where your words and your actions don't connect, and we're going to wonder what source you're speaking from. When you speak the words of truth to yourself, ultimately what you're doing is you're trusting that what God says in his word is true, and that you are a created being. God chose to make you, and that you are worth everything because you have the image of God. You are valuable because God chose to create you. And what I love, too, is that it's not just our words. There's a vertical aspect to this as well, that Jesus himself, it says in Scripture, he advocates for us to the Father regularly. And that means that he is constantly covering over those things that we think about ourselves, those things that we know about ourselves. He is always saying to the Father, no, if they are my follower, all the broken, messed up ways they describe themselves to you, it's washed over. My blood, my perfect life, wash over everything that they've done, and in God's eyes, you're perfect and you're restored. If you are covered in the righteousness of Christ. Sometimes I think it's because we forget how God loves us so much. And that sometimes we see and we're like, is there anything valuable in us? And God is like, yeah, enough for me to die for. Enough for me to redeem. And finally, a way for us to put this into work, or put this into action is just to be aware of the words we're listening to. What do you listen to on a regular basis? Because what we listen to affects us at a very deep level. Like I've said before, everyone seems to have an opinion on how we should look, how we should be, what we should buy, and so forth. And while your self-talk sets up a filter, there's also this sense that what you saturate yourself in is going to affect how you speak, how you act, and how you listen. Now, I'm not saying that you should only listen to Christian music and only watch Christian movies and only hang out with Christian people. I'm not saying to get rid of everything, but I'm trying to remind us of the power of the words that we allow into our lives. Be discerning. If you notice that certain TV shows, or I've seen this in my life, certain podcasters, certain commentators always get you like really riled up and really angry about things, like maybe limit them. If you notice that a certain sports team always sets the trajectory for your day, whether they win or they lose, maybe it's kind of good to notice that sports is not as important as it could be. I noticed back when I was in Denver, there were so many times that the Broncos would affect my day. And you guys are probably saying, well, that's because they're not that great of a team. They were once. You're like, what are you talking about? We have a team that wins, so I don't really know. I'm happy all the time. There will come a day, mark my word. No. But seriously, like, I was noticing that so much of my life and, like, my week was affected by whether or not the Broncos won or lost, and there were some stretches where I was not doing well. And I just had to say, you know what? I'm letting this in. I'm letting this affect me. I'd listen to commentators, and they'd get all fired up and riled up of, like, this coach needs to change or this quarterback needs to change or we need to do this. I'm like, yeah, that's right, and I have all the power to change it. It's like, no, I would just find myself getting upset and angry about something I had absolutely no control over. And it changed my week. So when I started to recognize, like, yeah, I need to watch sports for what it's designed to do. To have fun, to be with friends, to celebrate, and to, you know, console one another. But to not let it completely change how my whole week goes. If you notice that you can't be yourself around some people, or if you can't talk about the things that are important to you without being shouted down or berated, then it makes me wonder if that's the best group of people for you to hang out with. Don't hesitate to limit words of death being thrown at you and focus on where you can find words of life. This looks different for every single one of us, but I do know how you use words this week is going to affect not just you personally, but this world as a whole. So the question I ask you and want you to put into practice is, how will you use your words this week? My hope is that ultimately we will remember that God's word speaks to us daily. We have access to it. It's always right here. It's full of incredible story, but the one story that is correct from page one until the last page is God's undying pursuit and love of you. He is our example in this. God never speaks falsely. He never speaks words of death. He only speaks words of life to us through Jesus. Jesus always spoke the truth. Even when he was harsh, he spoke it in love, and it was always for their betterment. God has given us incredible power in the same way as Christians to speak words to other people, whether it's encouragement, prayer, support, or telling the good news of Jesus. My friends, may we all lean into the power of words and bring life to one another. Would you please pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for the power you have put into our language, into our words. Lord, I pray for my friends here that we would all have opportunities this week to build one another up, to speak words of life to one another. And Lord, I pray for any of the times that we may be experiencing words of death, I pray, Lord, that we would be reminded of your word and be reminded of what you say about us over and above anything other people say. So God, may we live in light of this truth this week and going forward. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We've been given some great opportunities to worship this morning, coming into this place, meeting each other.